Dialogues in John's Gospel have an amazing depth and profundity, and no more so is this present than in the dialogue we have before us today, here in John's Gospel, on this third Sunday of Easter. And the two amazing concepts that are brought together and are tied up in this dialogue is the concept of love and also the concept of denial. In some ways, the denial at first glance is quite easy, because the three questions Jesus asks of Peter, the three affirmations of love, reverse the three denials Peter uttered before Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So on that level, it seems quite straightforward. This dialogue undoes all the harm that Peter caused Jesus by his denial. That leaves us with love. And that's where denial comes back into the picture. It doesn't show so clearly in the English translation, because we do not have the same depth of language in this matter as the Greeks had. At least we can't say it as briefly as the Greeks could. But if we even listen to it in Greek, we find some idea of what's going on. The first time Jesus addresses Simon Peter, he includes the following: Simon Ioannou, agapas me, pleon toton. And Peter responds to this: Naikurie, suoidas hoti philo se. Now, if they're both talking about the same love, you would expect that a word would be repeated between those two, even if you don't fully understand the Greek language. Something should be repeated if both Jesus and Peter are speaking of love. But there is nothing. Let me just concentrate on the two questions. Jesus asks, agapas me, and Peter answers, philo se. Jesus asks Peter about a love that Peter cannot answer for. So what is the difference between agape and phileo? Agape, and we meet that most Christian of words in John 3:16 for the first time, where we are told, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So this is a profound and nurturing and redeeming depth of love. And of course, God is capable of that. But Peter, what does he think he is capable of? He is only, in his own mind, capable of phileo, of that attachment of friendship, of that choice which underlies making of friends. We choose people to be within our circle of intimates. And that's the grace of phileo, that we are able to choose and keep that choice going, to become friends, to work on friendship, to expand and to deepen friendship. Agapas is more powerful and more embracing, because all the other forms of love, there are various words in Greek for it, are embraced by that. So here, Peter, in fact, is denying himself. He's denying that he has the human capacity for this deep and lasting love. And we can almost see as the dialogue continues that Jesus capitulates and agrees with Peter, because the second time he speaks to Peter, he says to him exactly those same words: Simon Ioannou, agapas me. And Peter's answer is exactly the same: Naikurie, suoidas hoti philo se. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And the third time Jesus addresses Peter, he simply says, Simon Ioannou, phileis me. And John answers again with this, philo se. So twice Jesus has asked, using agape, And the last time, he uses the word that Peter himself feels that he is capable of. A friendship, a commitment of friendship. But at the same time, Jesus responds asking Peter to feed his lambs and nourish his sheep. To be that shepherd, a shepherd who brings to the sheep the grace of healing, the grace of strengthening the weak, of binding up the injured, of seeking out the lost and bringing back the strayed. These elements that we find in that wonderful sermon to the shepherds in Ezekiel chapter 34. So what is it that allows agape to grow in our lives? Two things. Service lies at the root of this transforming and transcending and redeeming Christian love. Feeding the sheep, nourishing one another under our one shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. And the second, this is the openness to be moved in directions which we might not easily undertake ourselves. And Jesus would go on to tell Peter, when he grows older, other people will place the belt around him, and he will be taken to places he would rather not go. At one level, we see that that has to do with Peter's own death by martyrdom, but also it has to do with growth, of being drawn in directions you never thought you were capable of going. Directions of integrity, directions of service, the direction of agape, no less. At this point, Peter does not feel capable of agape. Yet, through his life, lived as one who feeds the sheep, he would grow into that. Now, what is true of individuals on their journey is also true for the whole community of Christ, the pilgrim people of God, being drawn on this pilgrimage from mere phileo to the depth and the transcendence of agape. And on this journey, we, like Peter, need to be faced up with the times where we denied Christ, where we turned away. And we need to be recommitted to the path of agape, even if we can only answer haltingly and somewhat foolishly that whereas Jesus wants love from us, we can offer a sort of friendship. That's all we feel we are capable of at the moment. Institutionally too, we face these points where Jesus is asking us, through our institutional sinfulness made so painfully obvious by the evil deeds of a few, those painfully obvious deeds are these questions to us. Seeing this dereliction of your friendship and of your love in the circumstance of the abuse and destruction of children's lives by some, do you love me? And our answer is to be drawn deeper into the love of Christ through our repentance, through our facing our denials squarely, and through our trust that our human love can be transformed and become that integrity of agape, an integrity which nourishes and truly feeds, which does not oppress, which does not cut up, which does not damage, and which does not abuse. Each of us in our own lives have those points of denial. This Sunday asks us to face them not in hopelessness, but in gratefulness that we are drawn into doing greater things than we ever thought possible. We think we are capable of a little love. However, Jesus, by asking this greater love, this agape of Peter, tells us all that we are capable of the fullness of divine love through the gift of the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, through the fulfillment of that gift by the Holy Spirit given to us at Pentecost, and by the ongoing presence of Christ, ministered in our faith through the sacraments. We are capable of a divine love. And where the world and where the press show us our shortfallings and our denials of this greatness of love, we are simply called to repentance, not to defensiveness, to repentance, knowing that affirming our love in Christ, however weak that love might be in our own opinion, however it might fall short in our own opinion, affirming that will strengthen us on the journey towards agape. Peter learned that the worst he did to Christ became the best of which he was capable. The worst that we have inflicted on the world, we repent from, so as to give the best of what Christ came to give to the world to one another. For that grace, that love, that agape is known only in our human experience, inasmuch as we can minister it to one another, inasmuch as we are transparent instruments of God's grace and God's love. The church of this time in our history is being asked, "Do you love me?" And nervously, for every abused child, for every broken life, for every traumatized person, we have to say, "Yes, Lord, I love you," in repentance, yet also in the sure knowledge that we can grow in this profound love, the love of agape, and so move into the future where we will no longer deny Christ, but live the life of Christ more fully, more profoundly, and more powerfully among the people of this world. Amen.